B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good morning, Mr. Adam Schefter.
Good morning, Mark, Trey, Bob in Philadelphia. Who was the first ESPN guest?
I knew you were going to ask that. We had the great Dan Orlovsky on with us at 6:15, Adam.
Yeah, well, that's not unusual for people who work at our company. We're up and about and going to meetings and doing all sorts of things like that. So I understand that.
Certainly. Now, we talked to Dan a lot about his breakdown that almost got 10,000 retweets of Carson Wentz's game against Seattle. I think I've asked you this a couple of weeks ago. I don't think I asked you last week, but Adam, Carson Wentz, the viewpoint of him from around the league, do people still see him as an elite quarterback, a guy that can be elite, or a guy that is being hampered right now by a bad wide receiving core?
Well, I think he can be elite. I think there's no question he'd be elite. The problem is, you know, you're playing with a bunch of receivers that really have never made a mark in the NFL. You've got an offensive line where the left guard, Brandon Brooks, goes out of the game for anxiety reasons. You've got the right guard, the right tackle, Andre Dillard, has moved from left tackle to right. Like, there are a lot of issues to overcome. People, I think, sometimes forget that it's not easy to overcome all these losses and shit. I'm not telling you anything that you haven't heard. I'm just reinforcing it. It's not easy. And that's not to absolve Carson of everything in any way, shape, or form. He's not playing well. But the fact of the matter is the surrounding cast also isn't what he's used to.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, the other part of this, though, Adam, is the theory to do what the Seahawks did a couple of years ago, which was if there was any issues in the locker room between the quarterback and a wide receiver, most notably Russell Wilson, obviously, and then Golden Tate. They'd move on from Golden Tate. Percy Harvin, I think that was the thing that came up a little bit later. But is there a common belief in the NFL right now that it is going to be tough for Carson Wentz to overcome what has become a locker room of malcontents with snitching out of the locker room, if you will? Can he overcome that as a quarterback of the Eagles?
Yeah, he can. And again, I don't know that it's going to be this season. It doesn't look like it's going to be this season so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're good enough to turn around. But this is such a year-to-year league. I go back to last year in San Francisco. It's a simple one, but it's true. You know, people calling for Kyle Shanahan's job. He should be fired. Get rid of him. And I don't hear those calls and chants this year. And it just goes to show you, last year, Matt Nagy is the coach of the year. We love him. And now they want to fire him in Chicago, right? Like, it just changes so quick. And the key is, you know, the Eagles had that one Super Bowl year where they got hot later in the year. Everything worked out, but they've been playing well all year long. It just seems like this team just can't get it started. And the truth of the matter is, it is still set up for the Eagles to win the division. Still, okay? But at some point, you got to start playing good football, which they haven't done. At some point, you got to start making plays, which they haven't done. At some point, you got to start forcing turnovers, which they haven't done regularly. Like, there are things you got to do. And it's getting a little late. The opportunity's still there, and I still think they can win the division. But they have not been impressive, and they've got to play a whole lot better than they've been through the first 12 weeks of the season.
Schefter, on that, when Dallas is having the troubles that they're having, and their owner comes out and says the things that he says, and people speculating about Jason Garrett's job, how much do you think that is affecting them for this stretch drive and maybe beneficial for the Eagles?
Well, I didn't speak to too many people who thought that what Jerry Jones did on Sunday was a positive for the Cowboys.
Right.
On a short week where they're playing on Thanksgiving Day against the 8-3 Buffalo Bills, teams don't usually like basically their coach being put on notice, which he effectively was. Jason Garrett and his entire coaching staff were on Sunday. And we'll see how that affects him. Jerry's a very smart guy. He knows what he's doing. And maybe this is just the thing that he feels like his team needs to light a fire under the Cowboys to get them going, because they also have not played well. But now when you look at the Cowboys schedule and you look at the Eagles schedule, and I'm sure you guys have broken this down, it's not even close. Like, it's there for Philadelphia. Like, it's there for the Eagles to win. They got to go take it, though. Like, start playing some good football.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Now, one of the names we asked you about, as we speak with Adam Schefter of ESPN, one of the names we asked you about last week was a name that some fans have started to throw out on social media to take over the Eagles' offense in the event that they aren't able to put it together towards the end of the season with Mike Groh as their offensive coordinator. And I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but are there any other names out there regarding offensive coordinator position, any hot names that people are looking at saying this guy needs an opportunity to step up and run an offense?
Well, who's the one name? You started to refer to a name.
I'm sorry, Jay Gruden. I apologize. Jay Gruden was the name.
Yeah, well, again, that's a good name, and he might do a good job, but, you know, we'll see how that one shakes out. I see Jay Gruden joining his brother out in Oakland. I mean, that's what I see. Maybe I'm missing something. And maybe Philadelphia can entice him with a package sweet enough to get him to be their OC, but I kind of think that he'll be headed to Oakland, is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what other hot names? Well, if there's a hot offensive coordinator name out there, I could tell you, number one, that its team is not letting him go. And number two, if he's such a hot offensive coordinator prospect, like, I mean, I don't know, you give me a name, they're usually in play for head coaching jobs. You know, mm-hmm. Every year we get 5, 6, 7 head coaching jobs. That job, the offensive coordinator job, I think, is one of the most challenging to fill. It is one of the biggest challenges that a team faces. That and the offensive line coach, to me, are the two most important assistant coaches on staff. And those guys are rare. They are hard to come by. They just are. Like, you know, you got to find somebody that's real young and have him take the next step. And you don't know whether that guy's ever ready to call plays until he gets into a real-life setting. And even then, you know, he doesn't have experience doing that, and that's an acquired art. That's an acquired skill to be able to step into an NFL game and call plays. And some of these guys haven't proven that. Or you can go the veteran route and go hire a proven guy. You know, I haven't looked at offensive coordinator candidates. You think more along the head coaching candidates at this time. To me, personally. Okay. I think the Eagles organization is probably thinking more along the lines of an OC candidate, yes.
Adam, we haven't asked you about Antonio Brown in a while.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and for good reason, and I'm with you there. But is there, if you really had to bet on it, is he going to make a return to the NFL at any point?
Yeah, I think next year he'll be back.
Next year he'll be back. Okay.
That's my guess. That doesn't mean I'm right. But I would think next year. I've thought all along that it would be very difficult and challenging for him to play again this year. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, disagrees with that. He thinks that Antonio will play again this season. We'll see who's right. I don't know how he's going to play this season when the NFL hasn't even cleared him. When we don't know the pending investigation and what it holds, we don't know whether the NFL will wind up disciplining him on top of the investigation. Like, I can't see him playing again this year, and I've said that. And Drew was of the mind that he will be cleared, and there will be teams that are interested in signing him, and we'll see who's right. But next year, could I see somebody saying, "Yeah, look, you know, Kareem Hunt went out. There was a video of him." And the Cleveland Browns won't sign him to a very low-risk type of contract.
Right.
And it looks like it's benefiting them so far. And I think somebody will give a chance to Antonio Brown next year. I don't see him playing again this year.
Shefty, we saw with the Golden State Warriors in the NBA the game change and it become an outside game and a shooting game. Yeah. And you know, the teams in the league try to copycat that and just to no avail, obviously. Is Lamar Jackson making teams reconsider about how they might go about the quarterback position in the future?
Let's just say about a conversation I had over the weekend with some people in the 49ers. I was talking to them about playing the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And they said, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, and he's a future Hall of Fame quarterback, they fear going up against Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, and this weekend Lamar Jackson more. They're just harder to defend. Okay? And so they were viewing the game against Aaron Rodgers, as great as he is, as almost a break. Like, whew, we finally got a guy who we can chase down, who's not as mobile, who's not as likely to run around as Russell or Kyler or Lamar this weekend. And so if they're talking like that, and that's the kind of quarterback that becomes a nightmare to defend, then why would the rest of the league not be trying to duplicate that? And this is a copycat league.
Yeah.
So now listen, Lamar's skills are rare. And so are Russell Wilson's, and so are Kyler Murray's. But it gives you an idea that teams, I think, going forward, have to be even more open-minded about the quarterbacks that they're drafting and the type of offense that they're implementing and how they're approaching their offense. And I think, you know, that conversation with me really just stood out because it's saying that, you know, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, we all know how great he is, it's scarier to go up against one of those other guys because you just don't know how to defend them.
Adam Schefter, speaking with Adam Schefter, ESPN. One more thing I got for you, Adam. It's a little confusing thing that's been going on with the Eagles this year, where a guy will play over 80% of the snaps. Most recently, Jordan Matthews plays, I think, 96% of the snaps for the Eagles on Sunday. Then he's released. Similar thing happened when Zach Brown, the linebacker, played 81% of their snaps. Then the next day was released. And the same thing happened with Akeem Spence, another defensive lineman, and he was released the next day. Does it come off as odd to you at all that these guys are playing so much on Sunday and then all of a sudden they're no good to the team?
It is interesting to me, and I don't have an explanation for you when you put it all together. But, you know, Zach Brown, when he was released, I just attributed it to the fact that probably didn't play well, and he really put his team in a difficult spot by calling out Kirk Cousins in the way that he did, and that the organization didn't appreciate that. And so it went ahead and said, you know what, we don't have much invested in this guy anyway, so we're going to move on from him. Mm. Now, Jordan Matthews is a guy they sent up the street. He's a great guy. He's a guy you like to have in the locker room. He was a guy that I think I was told had looked good in practice and that they were counting on. And then he's good enough to play 91% of plays, and then the next week just say adios. So it is a little unusual to me, but I think what they're doing is, you know, they know they're struggling, and they're just doing what they can to try to jumpstart this. And okay, you know what? This didn't work. Let's try this. And that's the sign of a team that, again, is grasping right now and just trying to get it done, trying to do what it can to turn this around before it's too late.
All right, Adam, I just ask one favor. Next time you see Stephen A. Smith, just make sure his head doesn't explode the next time he talks about Joel Embiid's performance.
Well, what was his issue with Joel?
No, we all had issues, but he gave, I don't know, like a 5-minute rant where I literally thought his head was going to explode on camera.
Well, obviously it touched a nerve with him, very bothered and disappointed. And, you know, if Joel Embiid were on my fantasy team, I would have felt the same way.
Hey. Adam, you're the best. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Have a great one, Shefty.
All right, man.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.